Our opening tip, Giants Eagles last night, Daniel Jones shows off the wheels. Look at him. But he gets caught by a turf monster. Perk, what's more embarrassing, this or blowing a wide open layup or dunk?
Blowing a wide open layup or dunk. Look, what he did last night, first of all, did you see the speed from Daniel Jones?
He was moving.
Anybody that's making fun of him, I don't care what nobody has to say. That was impressive. I don't care if he did get tripped up by his own feet at the 10-yard line. Who cares?
All you got to do is put one foot in front of the other. There's no skill involved here. You just got to keep going, bro.
Amin, you make it sound so easy. It's a little bit harder than that. Look at that. We got
it. Oh,
that was a bad one. That was a really bad one. But we have a ton.
These are harder.
Well,
it's harder to miss a layup.
He's just running for daylight. That's tough.
Come on, man. Even his teammates are laughing at him.
Welcome to The Jump. I'm Richard Jefferson in for Rachel Nichols, and I'm joined by fellow NBA champion Kendrick Perkins, as well as our front office insider Amin El-Hassan, and I promised you I wasn't going to mess with your name. But coming up, we will discuss which team is more trustworthy heading into next season, the Warriors or the Nets. But first, we begin today with some breaking news on the 2021 start of the NBA season. The NBA Board of Governors is meeting today to discuss plans for the 2021 season, including starting as quickly as Christmas Day and playing fewer than 82 games potentially without fans in the stands, sources tell ESPN. Friday, October 30th is going to be the deadline to discuss all of the modifications to the collective bargaining agreement for the 2021 season, and the draft is scheduled for November 18th. I want to bring in Brian Windhorst, who co-authored this report with Woj and Zach Lowe. Brian, how realistic is it starting the NBA season on Christmas Day?
Clear your schedule. I think there's a very strong chance that is going to happen. In fact, I think it's going to happen even before Christmas, because you're going to not want to have ring night on Christmas Day. So I think there's a possibility that it could actually start slightly before Christmas. This is a big pivot from what Adam Silver was talking about just less than a month ago at the finals, when he talked about how he wanted to play an 82-game season with fans in the stands at all arenas. But as the situation has unfolded, the NBA owners have reevaluated. They realize how important Christmas Day is. And in their meeting today, they have made the recommendation to begin on Christmas or slightly before, with a slightly reduced season, perhaps about 72 games, finishing on time in mid to late June, and back on schedule for 21-22.
All right, I mentioned the October 30th CBA deadline just a moment ago. What is the biggest hurdle to getting a new collective bargaining agreement done by then?
Can you imagine, Richard, getting drafted by your team and then being expected to basically ship out the next day and start camp within about 7 to 10 days? Can you imagine signing as a free agent and having to potentially report to a new team within 72 hours to begin camp? Because that's what we're looking at here. They've got to negotiate with the players an agreement to get this started so fast. They have promised the players that they would give them an 8-week head up to the start of the season. Well, 8 weeks is in the middle to the end of next week toward Christmas. And so this is going to get decided quick, and there's going to be a lot of players impacted, and it's not going to be pleasant. But the expectation in me talking with the union is that there's a good chance this is going to get done. So I say to fans, prepare for NBA basketball on Christmas Day.
All right, let's go. Brian, thank you so much for joining us today. Great report. I want to bring Amin and Perk back into this mix. Perk, I want to ask you, is playing on Christmas Day, is that juice of it? Is it worth coming back this quickly for a very, very short offseason?
Absolutely. And look, the players knew this when they agreed, when the Players Association agreed to playing in the bubble, that it could be a quick turnaround. And that's what's happening right now. We have to have basketball on Christmas Day. It's a no-brainer. And look, they have a lot of teams that hadn't played since March, since the pandemic. You remember? So a lot of guys had a lot of time off. So at the end of the day, they knew that this could be a possibility, that if you reach the finals and played in the championship, that you will have a short offseason. So I'm all in for Christmas Day games. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is,
players, Richard, they were talking a big talk about wanting fans in the seats and all that, and I think they've just come to the realization with the science that's happening right now, that's not realistic. And so if we're going to start a season without having people in the buildings, then we might as well get it started sooner rather than later. There's no purpose in waiting to start with the same circumstances that we could start with on Christmas. And the other part of it is, I feel like the NBA is always afraid that the NFL is coming to steal Christmas from them. We have Christmas, they have Thanksgiving, and college football has New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And we don't want to give up that prime real estate. If you leave the door open, someone is going to move in and start squatting on it. So I see the sense of urgency there from the league.
Yeah, with so much talk about ratings and then there's revenue, like that's just such a huge day for the NBA. I just can't see. It's an American tradition at this point in time. But Perk, I wanted to ask you, ESPN is reporting that the league is open to starting the season without fans in the stands. How big of a deal is that for the players?
Well, it's not. I mean, they got used to it. A lot of players got used to it playing in the bubble. But, you know, fans make the NBA. Without fans, there's no NBA. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, obviously watching the NFL, we watching some games. Some arenas don't have fans. Some do. So it'll be interesting to see how the NBA and Adam Silver figure things out. But, you know, fans is what bring the joy to the game of basketball. And you fight to have home court. And you want to be at home and the fans are rowdy. Or you want to be on the road playing in a hostile environment. So it may play a huge part.
Yeah, you know, Richard, they estimate the income from people coming to games, tickets and parking and concessions and all that to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 35-40% of league income. So it's a big deal to say we're going to start and we're going to play without these people in the building. Having said that, there's a lot of income that comes from TV, whether it's local TV deals to the individual teams or the national TV deals that get paid out to everybody, to the league, and distributed to all the teams. So, again, the idea of playing the games and having good ratings might outweigh the need to wait until you can have people in the stands. As far as the quality of play itself, I think Perk hit it on the head. Most of the guys, you know, 22 teams played in a bubble without fans in the stands. And guess what? The basketball was fine. The basketball was great. We didn't have any drop-off in intensity. We didn't have any drop-off in execution. So while we all wish fans were in the building, this is going to get there at some point. For right now, let's just play basketball.
Yeah, no, I agree with you guys. I'm not saying the Lakers wouldn't have won the championship. I'm just saying I would have been very interested to see how the brackets would have played out if there was home court advantage and those things that players were playing on. But we're going to have to wait and see. Coming up, the Warriors, who own the second overall pick in the draft, were blown away by Denny Avdija. And I got that right on the first time during his workout. And is that something, nothing, or everything? Stick around to find out. But first, it is time for our first distant replay of the day. Amin, guess who it is?
Oh, is it Vince Carter?
Gets it out. Here comes Ray Ferraro. I had Jalen Rose.
Ooh.
You know what? Now that Vince Carter works here, I'm not as excited.
Why is you not as excited?
I'm not excited anymore.
Look, we got two guys that work here. We got two guys that work here. Jalen and Vince.
That's right.
Come on.
The Jump is brought to you by the rugged truck and SUV lineup from Honda.
Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Richard Jefferson filling in for Rachel Nichols. We're going to revisit one of our favorite games here on The Jump, and it's called Something, Nothing, or Everything. First up, the Warriors worked out Denny Avdija in Atlanta, and according to The Athletic's Ethan Strauss, they were blown away by him. Amin, is this something, nothing, or everything?
Yeah, your pronunciation is nothing. It's Avdija, but this is also nothing. This is also nothing. Tis the season, guys. This is the time of year when everyone's leaking that, oh my God, he blew us away, or oh my God, he's not gonna last, or oh my God, we hope he falls. It's subterfuge season. Everything you hear is going to be full of you know what.
I I don't know why.
I think it's nothing. I think it's nothing. You know why? Because the Warriors are going to draft Wiseman. That's what they need. They need a big man. So, yeah, I understand he might have had an impressive workout in front of them. And that's part of Bob Myers. Look, Bob Myers was my agent, and I know how Bob Myers worked. He played those mind games and say, oh, he's blown away. But then they deep down inside, they know that they're going to draft Wiseman. They need a big. He's there right there for them in the making, so they have to grab him.
Hey, yeah. I believe Perk. I saw that contract he got in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I'm gonna say this is absolutely nothing. I don't believe like that they are going to draft anybody but Wiseman unless somebody else pops up, but I can't imagine anybody. Next up, Spencer Dinwiddie has considered representing himself after leaving his agent. Dinwiddie and his representation have parted ways, according to Sham of The Athletic. Dinwiddie was represented by Roc Nation. Perk, Dinwiddie saying he may represent himself. Is this something, nothing, or everything?
Well, this is everything, and here's why. Spencer is making the wrong move. If you're a maxed out guy, I get it, right? If you say you want to represent yourself because it's easy to negotiate your contract. But if you're not a maxed out guy, you need to hire an agent. You have to have an agent because they're going to go in there and they know the details and how to negotiate your contract. Spencer, don't do it. Hire an agent. I understand you probably wasn't satisfied with Roc Nation, but it's other agents out there. Don't jump in those waters by yourself, young fella. Just words of advice to you.
Yeah, I'm going to go with something. Like Perk said, you know, if you're a max guy, it's paint by numbers what your contract is. But for everybody else, it's really you are the beauties in the eyes of the beer holder, right? And some beer holders are like, he's worth amazing amounts of money. And some are like, I could go with or without him. So you need an agent to pump up that market for you and put your value up. The only reason I went something as opposed to everything like Perk did is because the headline said he might represent himself, meaning he's leaving the door open to also still hiring an agent.
Yeah, see, I think this is something, but not for the reason that you guys both said. I think this is something because I do believe that Kyrie and Kevin Durant are also represented by Roc Nation. So when you have the two stars and the two studs, oh, I hear them. You guys like that, right? So these two guys are your studs and stars. So if you're paired with them, they're going the agency. There's a lot of leverage being there that you said when you have, you know, players and agents can also use leverage, and the two best players are also represented by Roc Nation. So I think this is something. Last up, the Raptors could play home games in Louisville next season. The coronavirus has complicated international travel, which is why the Raptors trained in Florida before the bubble. According to Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo Sports, the Raptors face a similar dilemma, and the alternate location is Louisville, Kentucky. Amin, the Raptors playing home games in Louisville, something, nothing, or everything?
I'm going to say everything because I'm assuming at some point in this season we might have fans in the building, but that might happen before Toronto is able to have free travel back and forth between Canada and here. And so there's a chance that the Raptors at some point in the season are playing games in front of a bunch of people who don't really care about them. And don't have any connection or affinity towards them. And so for me, I say it's everything.
I'm right there with you, man. I think it's something because the Louisville fan base is incredible. And for them to finally have an NBA squad in that city, I think they're going to embrace them with open arms. And I think the Toronto Raptors is making the right decision if they have to go that route. So I do think it's something.
Yeah, I think this is definitely something. You look at when you had New Orleans go to OKC, and then all of a sudden they showed that they could have a franchise and they can sustain a franchise, and now you have a team in Oklahoma City. So Louisville, they love basketball there. You got Kentucky, you got Louisville. This is a big basketball place. So even though they're not connected, ultimately there will be opposing teams coming into Louisville. So they have a good team in the Raptors that they could get behind, and then next thing you know, you get other guys coming in, whether it's Giannis or you get Bron coming in. So I think they could have a lot of fans. Maybe not as good as Toronto, but it's a lot of fans. listen, this is what we have on The Jump, and this is what The Jump recommends for today. The best and worst cases for the Warriors, Knicks, and six other teams we haven't seen since March. Check it out during the short break because we're talking Warriors' best case scenario after the break.
Remember that National Vote Early Day is October 24th. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Richard Jefferson, joined by Amina Hassan and Kendrick Perkins. Guys, it is time to run it back to, guess what? The best plays of my career. This is my show right now.
We're gonna run
the best show plays of my career. This is Honorable Mention 2015, MKG, look. And this is an offensive foul.
I have a problem with this. How are you hosting the show today and showing replays of your highlights? You supposed to be showing replays of someone else's highlights.
No.
To see this
is
RJ.
My show.
You cannot be the host.
All right.
This is 2002.
Block and then a windmill versus Indy. Woo! Young boy used to get up there.
I see you, RJ.
Yeah.
Most impressive part of this play is the pass.
Oh, the J-Kid pass.
Great pass. Way to make lemonade out of lemons, J-Kid.
Wait, so I look younger
I
now than I do
it
there.
A windmill.
And then look,
that
we got
Chauncey. That a windmill. That was more like a ceiling fan.
Oh, here we go.
A little baby ceiling fan.
And Chauncey Billups on the break in a playoff game. Look at that score, 87-85. Yeah. Ill. Had to duck
That's
there,
a
boys.
Goaltend, and also, you guys lost that series anyway, so it don't matter.
I mean, come on. Speaking of losing series, how about this dunk against Kevin Willis?
Man, Kevin Willis is 175 years old.
Kevin Willis, RJ.
Yes,
Kevin Willis.
I'm catching bodies.
His arms are shorter than mine.
I wanted to dunk on every big man, so I had to get him before he got out. So I'm proud of this one.
Kevin, what
do you got to say about this one?
Arms in NBA history.
How old was Klay Thompson on this day in 2016, the greatest dunk in the history of Christmas Day?
You're 36. Oh, my God.
That was nasty.
A two-guard. It was a two-guard, RJ.
We're the same size. I was 117 years old then.
Perk, a real talk. We played against Richard in 2010, and I thought his career was over.
Ladies and gentlemen, shout out to my man Danny bringing an Arizona highlight. Look at this, jumping over people. That's what we used to do. That's how you're a lottery tick, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that.
Because you blocked Casey Jenkinson, now you want to put your chest out about that?
Look, man, that's Richard Jefferson with hair. Look, it's time for Jump Ball. Voice of God, what's the first question?
Which team do you trust more on paper, Steph's Warriors or KD's Nets? Go, Richard, bear down.
Ooh, bear down. What do I trust more? I'm going to say the Warriors. I trust the Warriors more because if the Clippers taught us anything, you can have a ton of talent, but it's going to take time to bring it all together. And the Warriors have already done it even before they had Kevin Durant. They had already proven that they're a high-level team.
Absolutely, RJ. I'm rolling with you. I am not betting against those two yellow boys down there in Golden State, especially the one with the green eyes and Steph Curry, and they still got their core. You talking about a team that has been to five straight finals, and now that they're rested and they're hungry again, I got the Warriors over the Nets.
You know, first of all, the voice of God would never say bear down, so that's how we know that's just a producer. Also, I agree with you guys for the simple reason that, you know, you got Steve Nash coming in, first-time coach. He's got to get to know those players, what their likes, what their dislikes are. We also know that Durant and Kyrie are both mercurial personalities. They're not really easy-go-lucky. I think Golden State, even though the second half of their bench is kind of young, I still go with them. I still with the Warriors.
Oh, okay. All right. So that makes no sense. We got three Warriors, nobody for the Nets. Voice of God, what's up next?
Which team is under more pressure next season, the Clippers or the Bucks? Go, Perk.
The Clippers. Look, The Clippers have zero excuses. It's championship or bust. You have Steve Ballmer, he's doing all these pep rallies. He just came out in the press conference and said that they have the best coach in the NBA. No more excuses for the Clippers. It's championship or bust. They are under the most pressure.
Look, I know there are a bunch of people who are saying, but Giannis might leave in a year. Guess what? The Clippers have two guys who might leave in a year, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And unlike Giannis, they gave up 6 first-round picks to get those two guys in there. Absolutely, the Clippers are under a lot of pressure. They choked, one of the biggest choke jobs in the history of the league. They've never been to the conference finals as a franchise. And by the way, you're one of your star players out here complaining about his 2K rating. That's called foreshadowing.
Well, unfortunately, first of all, I'm going to say this. It is the Milwaukee Bucks, not only because Giannis might leave, it's because they've won 2 MVPs. He's won the Defensive Player of the Year. They haven't been to the finals, and yes, he might leave, but this is why. The reason why is because we have seen Lob City. We have seen the Clipper, or we have seen Paul George, and we have seen Kawhi Leonard go to L.A. L.A. is the destination. It is a free agent destination, and what are you doing? Brushing your beard. Anyways, the free agent destination, they're going to be able to get guys there. Milwaukee is not going to be able to get guys there. So it's either Giannis or bust for the Milwaukee Bucks. So I think there's a lot more pressure on the Milwaukee Bucks. Voice of God, what's next?
Last one. Which conference finalist stock would you rather own right now, the Nuggets or the Celtics? Go Amin.
Oh, you know what? Even though I got so many friends and loved ones in Denver, I'm gonna go with Boston. I think the Celtics stock is much higher because, again, you talk about Tatum and Brown. Those guys are so young. They really haven't even reached the prime of their careers yet. And also, yes, I'm gonna be cheap and say they play in the Eastern Conference. It's easier to be a dominant team out there than it is in the West. Sorry, Nuggets.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I'm going with Boston. Jason Tatum is box office. He finished top 10 in jersey sales. If they haven't rolled games, he's selling out arenas. People are spending their hard-earned money to go watch Jason Tatum play. And Jaylen Brown is right up underneath him. I love Jokic. I love what Denver is doing. But Jokic is just not marketable like Jason Tatum is. Jason Tatum is must-see TV.
All right, so look, Jamal Murray became a star. We know what Jokic is capable of doing. I truly feel that you're going to want to be Boston, right? You want to be Boston. I think that they are very, very close. And you got to understand, as much as the Brooklyn Nets are going to show back up, I don't know how much that'll affect Boston. But I do think the Warriors showing back up can affect the Denver Nuggets, because they might only go to a second round. A second round matchup could be versus the Warriors. It could be versus the Lakers again. So all of a sudden, they could be taking a step back. But I don't know if Jason Tatum is top 10 in jersey sales because he's Jason Tatum. I think the fact that he plays for the Celtics and he is their best player has a little bit to do with that. So that's just my opinion. I'm just saying. If he was playing for Toronto, would he be top 10 in jersey sales?
Well, yes. He's electrifying. You can't take away from that.
I'm not trying to take away from him. I'm just saying playing for the Celtics should boost up your jersey sales. Anyway, I'm controlling this. Look, I look phenomenal in video game form, but Paul George isn't happy with his 2K rating. We're going to dig into how much players care about their video game stats when we return. The Big Ten season begins this weekend, and tomorrow we'll have number 21 Minnesota hosting number 18 Michigan for the Little Brown Jug. 7:30 Eastern on ABC and ESPN app. Welcome back to The Jump. Yesterday, the 2K21 ratings were announced, and Paul George spoke with Ronnie 2K about his latest game rating. Take a listen.
I'm going to go 88.
I mean, man, you nailed it. You are an 88. You were 93 to start last year, but an 88 is still top 20.
You're hearing this first. This is going to be amazing training going into this next season. I'm going to predict I'm around 95.
You got your revenge tour coming. You got your 95 tour coming. I love it.
Yeah, 95 tour is coming. We're going to start there. So 2K22, we're going to start at, I'll be like a 96.
Oh, Perk, what's your reaction to PG's comments?
Well, first of all, why are we talking about ratings? Why is PG even talking about ratings? You don't hear Anthony Davis talking about NBA 2K ratings. He's worried about championships. Paul George, championships. No one cares, brother. No one cares. Go out there and show the world. But look, this is the Clippers. All talk, no bite. We don't want to hear it no more. We want to see some biting. I don't want to hear all that barking. Show us why your ratings should be high.
Yeah, this is my thing. When you have an end to the season like he did, from trash talking Damian Lillard to like 2 weeks later being trash and then blaming it on mental health issues and then coming back and having a good game and saying, I'm cured, and then having another couple bad games and getting bounced after you were up 3-1. Perk's right, man. That's when you suspend all marketing things. Like, I know I'm supposed to talk to 2K. Guys, I'm not going to talk. I got to be focused right now. I guarantee you right now, Giannis is not worried about his 2K rating. He's worried about, I got bounced again after being a favorite. How can I get better so that never happens again? How can I get better so they don't game plan me the way they did again? Right now, what Paul George is doing is just ridiculous. Ridiculous. You got to have knowledge of self. And I'm not saying that you got to be in a gym 24 hours a day or anything like that, but you got to know when to lay low, as the song goes.
But my question, look, Perk, isn't your 2K rating kind of an indication of how you are viewed in the game? He said that they said that they had him as a 95 to start the season, and now he is down to an 88. So as much as this is just a rating, they are shooting a direct shot. They were like, hey, you are 7 points lower than you were to start the season last year. And he was just like, I'm on my tour. Doesn't that give some indication, Perk?
No, first of all, Ronnie 2K is the one that does the ratings. Did you watch Ronnie 2K play last year in the celebrity game and the All-Star weekend? How can he have the audacity to give anyone a rating the way that he looks on the basketball court? That's the first thing. Second of all, who cares? Who cares about a rating? You know what you are as a person. Yes, it should be disrespectful, but win in silence. You don't have to let the world know. All you have to do is sit back and say, okay, I'll show you. Like Amin just said, Giannis not worrying about his rating. Giannis probably sitting back saying, all right, I'm going to be better next year. That's all I'm saying. And by the way, it's Ronnie 2K. Did you watch Ronnie 2K play basketball?
He's got a question.
What's your question?
I got a question, by the way. Is he doing that in his closet, or is that his living room that has all the shoes out there? Either way, the smell can't be that good.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get his location. I apologize. But look, there are some other ratings that we want to get to. Voice of God, who's up first?
All right, Devin Booker rated 88 on 2K21. Is that too low or too high? Go Perk.
It's too low. Did we not watch Devin Booker tear the bubble up? He should be nothing less than a 90. But again, I'm going to leave it at that because it's Ronnie 2K that's doing the rating. So he don't know a lick about basketball. Devin Booker is one of the most elite scorers in the game today. And what he did down there in the bubble, he shouldn't be nothing less than a 90, a rating of a 90. I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not an expert at ratings.
Yeah, I'm going to say too low as well. Look, Devin Booker is never going to win most improved, but he's improved tremendously since he's been in the league. Every single year, he adds something new. This year, I thought he was a much improved defensive player to go along with an incredible offensive repertoire, great touch from all over the floor. It absolutely should have been higher, 90
okay,
at least.
Okay. If Devin Booker should have been a 90, and 8 seconds ago, we were just talking about Paul George shouldn't care about ratings. So then I have a question. If Devin Booker's a 90, what is Paul George? Because Paul George was an 88.
Paul George shouldn't be higher than Devin Booker right now. Devin Booker had a better season than Paul George. So he shouldn't be. You disagree?
This is what I'm going to say. Paul George, man, I don't care if he was a 55. Your focus should be away from this conversation. If you're Paul George, say, I don't care, I'm going to step away from it. The guys who had good ends to their seasons, they can have this conversation. Devin Booker can have this conversation because he was scintillating in the bubble.
Well, okay. I don't agree with you guys, but whatever. Voice of God, who is next?
All right, Jimmy Butler rated a 93 on 2K21. Is that too low or too high? Go Amin.
All right, I know I was told not to do this, but I'm going to do it. It is right on the money for the guy I call Mr. October. That's right. He came in. He tore the playoffs up, especially after the leading scorer, Goran Dragic, went down with a foot injury. Jimmy Butler stepped up and led that team, averaged damn near triple-double throughout the finals. 93 is, mwah, that's perfect, right where he should be.
Yes, you are right. You are preaching the gospel today, Amin. It's right on point. Look, what Jimmy Butler did in the playoffs, he made us all be able to feel comfortable to put the super in front of star, because he was a superstar in the NBA bubble, especially
Say
in the playoffs.
Again.
And what he did in the finals was phenomenal. When he took his talent to South Beach, everybody questioned what he was doing, and he showed the world what he was doing by taking the Miami Heat, carrying them to the NBA Finals, and shocking the world, upsetting Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks, like I told you them goons from Dade County was going to do. Go ahead, Richard. Let's hear the hate.
Okay, no, there is no – wait, whoa. My only hate is trying to figure out that Ronnie got it perfectly this time. He got it perfectly, but he doesn't know what he's talking about before. So that's a little curious. This is what I'm going to say. I think there
Broken
should be –
Broken clocks, Richard. There should Broken
be,
clocks.
Okay, thank you. There should be two. There should be two ratings. I think 93 is right where he was, but during the postseason, that man was a 95 or a 96. Like, he was so clutch. He was so key. So there needs to be a South Beach Jimmy. There needs to be something there, because his numbers, he was better than a 93 taking his team all the way to the finals, and the way he played in two of those wins during the finals. So that's my only argument to that. And I don't want to get you guys any rebuttals. So I want to know, who is next, Voice of God?
All right, last up, LeBron James, rated 98 on 2K21. Is that too low or too high? Vamos, Richard.
Well, is he the first one? Is he the last one? I'm saying, is he the highest rated individual? That is my question. I think that is right about right, as long as he's the highest one, because he is the finals MVP. So if you're doing it going into the next season, that should be rated pretty high. Perk, what do you think?
My only concern is why didn't you give him the extra point and put him at a 99? Like, why you just had to be that disrespectful and put him at a 98 instead of giving him that one extra point and putting him at a 99? LeBron James was phenomenal. He should have won the regular season MVP this season. And I just think, you know, like I said, it just got to be some type of controversy. And, you know, with Ronnie 2K putting him at 98, he wanted a little clout chasing to say, oh, LeBron should have been 99. He want the back and forth. He wants some attention, and he getting it right now.
Yeah, I'm also wondering where that 1 point went, you know, if you're going to hold it from him. But I'm going to say this. If anyone should be offended about how low his score is, it's LeBron. Way more than Paul George should be offended about being an 88. LeBron should be super offended that he's going to be a 98, and he should be 99. You know what? I'm going to say it. LeBron should be 100.
Oh, 100. LeBron should be 100. Well, I wish the Voice of God could tell us what Giannis's number was, what Jokic's number. But my thing is this, is that if you're going to give him a 98, I'd like the numbers have to start going down quite a little bit. But, you know, Voice of God, what is Giannis's number?
Giannis was a 97.
Wait, now this is my issue. You Ooh. Have the guy that was one of three players to win defensive MVP and the MVP in the same season, and they had the best record, and he is rated lower than LeBron James. Perk?
I'm going to say this. Yeah.
I'm not talking
go
to
ahead,
you.
Perk.
Yeah, because the eye test tells us different. If you're a basketball – no, you know what? I'm not going to give Ronnie that credit. You know what? He got it right for this particular situation. 97 is fair for Giannis because he still have a lot of flaws in his game. He's not the best basketball player in the world, so you couldn't give him a higher rating than you gave LeBron James because he still have holes in his game.
Absolutely, and also, if you needed any other metric,
the team that LeBron beat to win a championship, slap Giannis and his team around. That's all you need. You know what? 97 might be too high for Giannis. He needs to be a couple points below LeBron.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, look, I am sorry, LeBron. You are still searching for your respect from Ronnie 2K. Look, up next, an anonymous agent threw some shade on LeBron James and Rich Paul from Clutch Sports. We will discuss that next. But time for our second distant replay of the day. This one is from this date in 2013 from, ladies and gentlemen, the Heatles.
Oh.
Second roll for Davis. Uh-oh.
Is Mr. 98 going to be out here?
Woo. He got to be. Nice pass. Ooh, nice pass. Ooh.
Yeah, the Heat putting their championship stamp on the first 4 minutes of this game.
They were good for one of these a night.
D-Wade was so
every night.
Tomorrow, UFC 254 on Fight Island at a special early start time. The prelims start at noon Eastern on ESPN2 and ESPN Plus and ESPN Deportes, with the main card on pay-per-view at 2 p.m. Eastern. To order the main card in English and in Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/pay-per-view. And now, a preview of the main event from renowned MMA analyst Vince Carter.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Vince Carter, a.k.a. Vinsanity. 8-time NBA All-Star, 22 years in the league, and more than 1,000 dunks. Why lay the ball up when you could take off, spin 360 degrees, and finish strong?
Let's go home!
Why go around a defender when you could go up and over one? There's a reason my nickname was half man, half amazing. Even now, happily retired, I'm not willing to give that name to someone else on the court. But in the octagon, well, that's another story. Now introducing the highlight, Justin Gaethje. Gaethje has a flair for the dramatic. 9 post-fight bonuses in his first 7 UFC fights, making 50 G's each. He's got speed, leaping ability, and power. And all that is done with style. There's a whole lot of steak with that sizzle. You better take him seriously, or
it's over.
It's over, ladies and gentlemen. It's over. Saturday at UFC 254, Gaethje faces his toughest test to date. Undefeated lightweight champion, Khabib Nurmagomedov. If I were you, I'd tune in. You might just see a highlight we'll be replaying for the next 20 years.
I don't know what just happened, but apparently Vince Carter is going to start doing promos every single day. Good for you, VC. Yo, it is crunch time. I know he's putting in work. It is crunch time here on The Jump. Earlier this week, Michael Jordan opened his second medical clinic in Charlotte. This video is from the first opening a year ago. In April, that facility transitioned to a COVID-19 screening and treatment and testing center. The impact is impossible to fully measure. Amin, how great is it to see MJ's impact continue off the court?
No, this is incredible. It's great for MJ. It's great for former athletes, but also he's an NBA owner. I'd like to see more NBA owners take these kind of initiatives in their local communities.
I love it. I think MJ is setting the tone for the owners of the NBA, and he's doing a hell of a job of what he's doing in the community right now. He need to keep it up, and it's setting the tone for everyone else.
Yeah, I'm glad MJ is stepping up. Look, the NBA draft will be held virtually from the ESPN campus in Bristol, Connecticut on November 18th. Commissioner Adam Silver and Mark Tatum will be in studio at ESPN to announce the picks. Perk, the T-Wolves said there is no clear-cut number one. Do you agree?
I do agree. Matter of fact, I don't even know if they're going to hold on to the number one pick. I strongly believe that they're going to trade the number one pick, because I think LaMelo Ball should be the number one pick, and they don't need him. I think the Timberwolves are going to trade their pick away.
All right. Well, okay, that's one way to look at it. Look, The Athletic did a recent story where they interviewed 20 NBA agents anonymously, and some of the comments about LeBron James and Rich Paul were pretty harsh. Clutch Sports and Rich Paul represent a long list of NBA players, and some people have been critical that LeBron's relationship with Rich Paul creates a conflict of interest. Here is the quote from The Athletic. LeBron has leveraged his popularity with young players for seducing them for Clutch, and it's not serving the players well. But for the players that are suffering, there is no repercussions. Nobody is criticizing what they're doing, and you have to call out the union. They should be meeting with Rich Paul saying, what happened here? What happened here? They represent all the players. They all pay the same amount of dues. If Rich Paul were a lawyer, he'd be disbarred 5 times. End of quote. Wow. Perk, is this a fair critique of LeBron and Clutch Sports?
Well, first of all, I never listen to anonymous source because they're cowards. If you can't put your name behind it, then don't say nothing at all. But here's the problem that I have. You have a young African-American that's ahead of the game in Rich Paul, and a lot of people can't stand it. He's doing a phenomenal job, not only in the NBA, but last time I checked, he got NFL players also. This is a guy that got it out the mud and has grinded his way to the top. No shortcuts, has took it step by step that's needed to be, and people are just trying to find a reason to throw salt on his name, LeBron James' name, and Clutch Sports' name. Carry on.
Yo, there is no profession in the world that is whinier about how the world is against them than an NBA agent. These dudes complain so much, and whoever said this, as if Clutch is the only agency to use its star players as leverage to signing more players, as if Clutch Sports is the only agency to maybe have a client where things didn't work out. That happens with every agent, including the anonymous coward who put his name on it. But here's why he's a coward. Not because he's anonymous. Sometimes you need anonymous sources. Why he's a coward is because he said, but y'all, talking about the media, y'all won't say anything about it because you're afraid of LeBron and you're afraid of Clutch Sports and not being able to get interviews. Look, I've never interviewed LeBron in my life. I will say whatever the hell I want to say if I believe it. But if you want to make it seem like this guy is the only one guilty of the things that you are alleging, then you are full of it. And I don't want to say it. I want to say the full word that starts with two other letters.
No, don't do that. Look. My big thing here is that, you know why he's anonymous? Because he knows at some point in time he's going to want players from Rich Paul. And look, we've seen it over the course of all of basketball. When David Falk used to use Michael Jordan's name, when you had Rob Pelinka using Kobe's name, when you get a star, when you get a generational talent that can actually help recruit talent, and the difference is now we're in the middle of player empowerment. Players have never had more power, and LeBron James is at the forefront, and his agent, Rich Paul, is right there next to him as far as making sure that they can move players back and forth and doing whatever they want. So I don't really have a problem with that, but I don't really like anonymous sources. I'm with you, Perk, on that. I just want to ask
don't
one
hate
more
the player, hate the game.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's all I need to see. And look, this just in. At the buzzer, Sham from The Athletic reports that the six-time All-Star Amar'e Stoudemire has agreed to a deal to join Steve Nash's staff as an assistant coach in Brooklyn.
My other guy.
Amin, you worked with both of them in Phoenix. What was your reaction?
No, I was really happy to see this because Amar'e Stoudemire, what a talented guy, what a gifted guy, and what a great forerunner of where the power forward position was going to go. If Amar'e played today, we would have had him shooting threes back then. He was shooting pick and pops. But I know he's got a lot to teach and a lot to share with the young bigs of the league. I look at a kid like Jared Allen. He's got a lot to learn from Amar'e Stoudemire and how he can maximize his talents. I thought this was a great hire for Steve Nash.
I love it. I love it. This is the true definition of take care of your own. Take care of your people. That's what Steve Nash is doing. I love the hire. I strongly believe from listening to Amar'e Stoudemire do analysts that he's a student of the game. He knows the game. He's a teacher of the game. Great hire by Steve Nash and the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, no, I think this is a great hire. You know, you have Steve Nash, and you obviously know how much weight his name carries. They kept Jacques Vaughn on the staff. I think that is great for players that already had a relationship. And now you bring in a name like Amar'e Stoudemire, who is one of the most dynamic rollers that we have seen in this league. Look, I just want to say thank you to you, Perk. I don't want to say anything to Amin. I can't stand him. Brian, Windhorse, thank you for joining us on The Jump. Rachel Nichols and The Jump will be back next week. I can't wait for Christmas. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Hey, great
Amin,
job, RJ.
Please stop brushing your beard. It is annoying me.